back here on the Giants pregame show. Giants and the Cardinals coming up at 11:15 on the leader. And then after that, the Giants head to Los Angeles for four games against the rival Dodgers, and here to preview that series, my good friend Fabian Ardaya. He covers the Dodgers for The Athletic. Fabian, how are you on this fine Sunday morning?
I'm good. It's a little bit warm in Denver, but otherwise everything's pretty good.
A little bit warm because of that Dodgers offense, too. They're taking advantage of an overmatched Colorado Rockies bullpen. But the Dodgers came out of the break firing, and they don't look like they're slowing down anytime soon. What have you seen from that club so far?
I think you sort of mentioned it. They've taken advantage, especially against the Rockies bullpen lately. I know on Friday, they kind of jumped on the starter, Chichi Gonzalez, the first inning. But I mean, he wasn't expected to start up until a couple hours before that game because of some of the COVID issues that the Rockies were having. But, yeah, they've been taking care of business against the Rockies bullpen. The biggest thing I was noticing before he got hurt was obviously Mookie Betts really was it looked like he was starting to come out of some of that first half funk that he was dealing with. He had four extra base hits on Saturday before coming out with the right hip irritation. It does look like he's going to be back Monday against the Giants, though.
Okay, so that is the update on Mookie Betts. He will not play today against the Rockies, but he'll be good to go for the four-game series. That's Dave Roberts' update?
Yeah, that's what he said yesterday. We'll have to check in with him today, but that sort of is the plan. This is something that isn't necessarily a new injury for Mookie. It's more something that he's been dealing with for a little bit of a while now, and he just sort of aggravated it last night.
Stars certainly aligning. Could be a really interesting series. The Giants may get Buster Posey back. The Dodgers will keep Mookie Betts active. But the one player who the Giants will not see in this stretch where they play the Dodgers seven games over the next 10 days, Clayton Kershaw, who's out. And Kershaw has been so dominant. Every Giants fan knows that through the years against San Francisco and basically against everyone. But it sounds like that forearm issue is going to keep him out until August. What can you tell us about his injury?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's something where, obviously, anytime you have something that's forearm, elbow related, you're going to probably pay a little bit more attention than, say, if it's anything else, especially for a pitcher. So, as of right now, I mean, Clayton Kershaw is kind of on track to maybe play catch again this coming week, and then from there you start a progression. But the earliest he'll be back is sometime in August. I think part of it is obviously trying to make sure that this is fully squared away for October, but also I think in an ideal world, this is a situation where Dave Roberts probably would have had like a 2 or 3 week spell off for all of his starters. Obviously, that's not how it's played out for the Dodgers. They're in the position where they really need starting pitching right now rather than are at a luxury with it like they had earlier on in the year. But as of right now, it looks like the plan is at least until August for Clayton Kershaw.
And that leads me right into the next question. You know, the Dodgers at this time of year, historically buyers at the trade deadline. Andrew Friedman never afraid to go out and add a high-profile name. But with Trevor Bauer on leave and Clayton Kershaw on the IL, the Dodgers have also been basically throwing a bullpen game once a week all season with Dustin May out with Tommy John surgery. It feels less like the Dodgers are in a situation where they might buy Fabian and more where they have to go out and acquire a starting pitcher right now. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that right now. And obviously, I mean, they were even in on Cole Hamels' workout this past week, too. And they're looking for help any way they can get it. Obviously, they have a couple of young pitching prospects who they feel pretty good about, Josiah Gray and Ryan Pepiot. Both of them are options actually to start Tuesday against the Giants, although Dodgers could also go opener. They could go bullpen game for that game. They haven't decided that yet. But obviously, if they have a chance to add proven length, major league length, whether it be as a starter or someone who can go multiple innings, ideally out of the bullpen, I mean, that's sort of the hope because there's still, I mean, Tony Gonsolin has only topped five innings once since coming back off the IL. They're still stretching David Price out because I know they were really hesitant to do that earlier on the season. So they're trying to find innings to make sure their bullpen isn't overworked by the time they get to October.
Chatting with Fabian Ardaya of The Athletic, does a great job covering the Dodgers. The Giants will be in L.A. for four games starting on Monday. I'm headed down there tomorrow. Fabian, Walker Buehler comes out of the All-Star break, throws a gem. It feels like to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like nationally he might be one of the more underrated pitchers. Every time he takes the ball, it feels like the Dodgers win, and he's just been so good for so long now that it feels like people take it for granted.
Yeah, and you're dead on about that. I think there was a stretch earlier on the season that got snapped, actually, when the Dodgers got no hit. I think it was like 29 consecutive starts, only that, where he didn't take a loss. And then I think he's only had one start this year where he hasn't gone at least six innings. He went seven innings last night. So, like, he has been incredibly consistent. I know earlier on in the year he had some issues where, like, the strikeouts just disappeared for a little bit. He was still able to get deep in outings, be very effective at soft contact, but it seems like he's been able to find more strikeouts as the season's gone on. I know he's been tinkering with some stuff with his pitch mix, but even when he hasn't gotten the swing and miss necessarily, he's still gotten a lot of soft contact. He's someone who, I know he got some Cy Young votes in 2019. He's a two-time All-Star now, but he's someone who I feel like, especially in big games, he's the type of guy who the Dodgers are going to lean on and have leaned on over the years.
It should be a really fun series this week in L.A., really fun stretch before the All-Star break. The Giants and the Dodgers matching up seven times. Dodgers in Colorado right now playing the Rockies series finale on Sunday. Fabian, you've been there all week covering the All-Star game, and obviously new to the National League West, this is your first season on the Dodgers beat. You began the year on the Angels beat, so I want to ask you, Shohei Ohtani at the All-Star game at the Home Run Derby, how cool was it to see him on that stage doing what he does best, which is basically everything?
It was very cool, mostly just because, like, it's a chance for everyone to kind of see it. Because I feel like, especially this season, has been very special for him. It's been different than even 2018 was, just because of how dominant he's been on both sides of the ball. And to have a chance to do so on a big stage, and he's the type of guy where, like, you sort of have seen it. You saw it during the Home Run Derby, like, he has a habit of, like, being able to turn it on when he has to. And he did that in the Derby to sort of rally and tie it up and force the swing off. And then he sort of has done it sort of like to be able to handle the workload of an All-Star week, which is a lot in terms of all the media attention you have to do. And then if you're someone like Ohtani who is doing the Home Run Derby, which takes a lot out of you, and then you're starting and playing and you're hitting the next day, like, there's a lot on your plate. And he was firm to be able to do that. I'm sure took a lot out of him, but I'm sure it was something that he really wanted to do and something that's really good for the game.
I've never covered an All-Star game, and it seems like there's so much going on all week. You're busy the whole time. There's the purple carpet. There's the Home Run Derby futures game. Draft was this year. What was your experience like in Denver this week? What was your favorite moment of the week?
Yeah, I mean, I actually got in Monday morning, so I wasn't able to be part of the futures game or draft or anything like that. But I feel like the Derby was – I always kind of liked the Derby in recent years with the new format. This year's Derby just felt really, really good all the way around. It seems like every single matchup sort of lived up to the hype, and there were so many good storylines, like obviously Ohtani, but then also Soto put on a show, hit a ball 520 feet. Pete Alonso repeated as champion, and then obviously you have Trey Mancini. Trevor Story put on a show. Like, it just seemed like it was as good of a spectacle for the sport as I've seen in a while. Like, that Home Run Derby especially just seemed like a really good showcase.
And the Dodgers were very well represented in Denver. The Giants sent Brandon Crawford. Buster Posey did not go. Kevin Gausman was not a participant, even though he could have started the All-Star game for the National League had he not thrown on Sunday. The Dodgers' depth was really shown off this week, I feel like, and I just get the sense that that mattered a lot to the organization, because it is a showcase. It is an opportunity for them to, you know, have the representation on the biggest stage in baseball in the middle of the summer, and the Dodgers were there and well represented.
Yeah, it was the first time in a while where they didn't have a starter voted into the game, so that was a little bit weird. But obviously Max Muncy wound up starting as the DH. That was Dave Roberts' choice. But yeah, I mean, it was they technically had five representatives, although Mookie Betts did not attend and Walker Buehler didn't appear in the game. And then the rest is kind of interesting, because other three guys, Justin Turner, Max Muncy, Chris Taylor, those are all guys who they sort of represent what this current iteration of the Dodgers has been. It's been a lot of not only developing their own stars, but also a lot of these reclamation projects. These are all guys who are kind of discarded by other organizations. They found their ways to LA, and now all of a sudden they are these types of players who are capable of being all-stars. And then Chris Taylor, obviously, this was his first time being in the game. And I know that was something that Dave Roberts has been pushing for months, just because of how valuable he is to the Dodgers with his ability to play all over the field.
So one more for you, Fabian, before I let you go a little offbeat. But the Dodgers did something in Major League Baseball's draft that was very similar to what the Giants did. The Giants opened up with nine straight pitcher selections, which we'd never seen from the Giants before. The Dodgers, I believe it was 15 in a row to start the draft. What did their player development staff and their amateur scouting directors say about that draft strategy and how it was reflected in the scouting process leading up to the draft this year?
Yeah, it was very extreme. It wasn't as extreme as the Angels, obviously, who took only pitchers during the draft. But I think that was something obviously we asked Billy Gasparino, the scouting director for the Dodgers, about. And I know that's not something that they sort of went into the draft sort of planning it, but like I asked him directly, like, was it just easier to evaluate pitching than hitting, just with the COVID year, everything like that, and so much of what we know about player development and stuff like that about pitching on pitching side, and he sort of pretty much admitted that yeah, like there's some aspects to it that are easier to evaluate and easier to know what you have in terms of pitching rather than hitting, especially when guys are only really limited showcases, aren't playing full seasons, stuff like that. Sample sizes aren't as big. So that's sort of how they viewed it. And also, I know they were really high on this high school pitching class, especially early on. And then as the draft went on, some of those college arms were the types of arms who probably would have gotten drafted and gotten into pro ball last year. But because of the shortened draft, because of the COVID year, wound up being available later on in this year's draft. I think that's sort of how they viewed it, and it sort of lined up that way for them.
A great perspective, and the Giants thought of things very similar this week in the MLB draft. So Fabian Ardaya does a great job covering the Dodgers for The Athletic. If you want the perspective of how the rivals are viewing this series, be sure to read Fabian's work. I will see you this week, sir. One last question for you. Is the soft serve machine back in the press box at Dodger Stadium?
Yes, it is. It is. That's probably the biggest news of the year.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Headed to Los Angeles on Monday. Looking forward to seeing Fabian. Whole Giants beat is headed down there for a big four-game series. Giants and Cardinals will wrap up this series in St. Louis at 11:15. A lot more coming your way on the Giants pregame show. Kerry Crowley, Bill Lasky, Marty Lurie, KMBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.